Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore, Adam Candy here in Las Vegas on You Better, You Bet. Are you looking for Nick and Ken? Don't worry. They'll be back soon. They're just taking a July 4th rest as we run through your Independence Day with a look at what's upcoming in the National Football League. Just 2 weeks away from the first rookies reporting for training camp. The start of the NFL, of course, in early September, right after Labor Day. The 8th, if I'm not mistaken. There you go. September 8th, first night of the season in the National Football League. Jeremy and I are talking about some futures. And, of course, we talked about yardage. Yardage can correlate to the MVP, but of course the MVP can go far beyond that. Jeremy, the MVP market in the NFL, it's been out for a while. It's been bet into a bit. There haven't been any enormous changes, I don't think, in this market. But for the folks who have not been paying attention quite yet, let's run down what's happening in the MVP market with these numbers. And then I'll get your take on who you think, first of all, who you think is likely to be MVP this year. And then, of course, are there any values on that board farther down the line? Josh Allen, your favorite at 6-1, followed by Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady at 8-1. Aaron Rodgers, 10. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow at 11. Stafford, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott at 15. Kyler Murray is 18. Lamar Jackson, 22. Derek Carr at 25-1. Mostly quarterbacks, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along here, but how are you sizing up the NFL MVP market?
So let me ask you this, just when you look at it, what would it take for you to get to a running back or wide receiver or another position for that matter? I'm just thinking of skill positions because we had Jonathan Taylor had an amazing year last year. We talked about what we saw from Cooper Kupp out west and the numbers he put up, breaking, you know, records, just looking phenomenal in a 17-game set, and he still didn't win. I mean, is there any way that you're betting another skill position player outside of a quarterback?
You asked me what it would take. It would take the threat of physical violence. It would take you kidnapping my dog. It would take you holding my family hostage. It would be something I would not do, period. If you go back over the last 20 years of NFL MVP voting, 17 of the last 20 winners of NFL MVP have been quarterbacks. The last time that a running back or any other position won a MVP award was Adrian Peterson back in 2012. This is a quarterback award now. And it's not that we think any less of running backs. It's that the NFL in general has devalued running backs. And it is a passing league. And if you're going to bet this market, you have to bet a quarterback. So the farthest down the line you can go before you find non-quarterbacks is Derrick Henry and Cooper Kupp at 50-1. No. I want nothing to do with it. If Derrick Henry wins anything this year, it could be the rushing title. You bet most yards at 5-1. Could be comeback player of the year at roughly 4-1. But I'm not betting him for MVP at 50-1. Because if any quarterback has a transcendent season, they put up great numbers, their team is successful, that quarterback is going to win MVP. It is the industrial hype complex we have around quarterbacks. It is the trend behind the NFL. You would not get me to bet any other position than QB for NFL MVP.
And the other part of that, too, is, correct me if I'm wrong, the year that Adrian Peterson won that, wasn't he coming off, didn't he rush for 2,000 and come off the ACL tear as well? Wasn't he like a year removed from that? So it was a pretty special year, to say the least, of things we didn't expect to happen. And a lot of times, you know, voters can, for lack of a better term, get in their feelings about things, saying, man, look how impressive that is. Because what we saw from Cooper Kupp was the greatest singular receiving year, you know, and God knows how long, with a 17-game season, that is. But and his name was brought up, but he really wasn't in the conversation. We knew from the betting markets, like, he wasn't going to win. At least I didn't think so. So,
well, when you evaluate a guy like Cooper Kupp, you have to keep in mind that football is like baseball in this way. They have a separate award they can give to someone who's really good on offense that they don't have to give the MVP to, right? Pitchers in baseball more often are going to win the Cy Young than they're going to win the MVP because we can say, well, that's their award. Well, you have an Offensive Player of the Year award that they can give out separately that doesn't involve the most valuable player, right? So they actually found a way to kind of, I'm not going to say statistically break things out, because sometimes it's not the best statistical player, but they're going to look at a guy like Cooper Kupp, at a guy like Jonathan Taylor, and say, oh, we'll give him, you know, offensive player of the year, and then give one of these other guys MVP. So Josh Allen's at the top of that list at 6-1. Mahomes and Brady at 8, Rodgers 10, and then the young guns get in there at 11-1.
Yeah, I think I would fall in somewhere in that 12-1 to, where'd you have Lamar, like 22-1 in that range. I like Russell Wilson. I know you're bullish on him as well. I'm interested to see him go to that offense. We know the type of numbers he can put up, but is he finally in an offense that's not going to go run first, run second, hey, bail us out on third down until we get to the fourth quarter? Will we see him actually air it out in mile, you know, in a favorable condition for the home team? And he's also in a division where I think he's going to have to throw. So I like the idea of that. We talked about Derek Carr and the numbers he's capable of putting up. I don't know if I want to vote for him for MVP because, again, the success is going to have to come along with it. I think the wins will have to be there for a guy unless he just puts up just amazing numbers. And then lastly, you know, look, I'm going to sound like a homer here, and he won it a couple years ago, but Lamar Jackson coming back healthy, revamped offensive line, backfield. He lost his deep threat in Hollywood Brown, but now you're going to see the Ravens go to more 12 and 13 personnel, which is a ball control offense, more intermediate routes. Mark Andrews will get his targets. Rashad Bateman will be in that grouping as well. I think they have a who's who of nobodies that's going to be catching the ball that a lot of NFL fans aren't necessarily familiar with outside of Andrews. And I think Lamar, this contract year, he's put on 12 pounds of muscle. He looks completely different, hasn't lost a step, but looks stronger. I think this is a guy that's out to prove something this year. And I would like to take, I mean, he's won it before, so why not? 22-1? I'd love to place a wager on that.
His receivers aren't going to be a who's who. It's going to be a who's who?
Yeah.
That's who's going to be catching passes from Lamar Jackson this year. And here's why I love that bet. I know that we're supposed to argue with each other. I don't love that. Nah, sports radio, right? No, you're just going to get tacit agreement on this one. Lamar Jackson at 22-1 is what I like in this market for multiple reasons. First of all, keep something in mind. We talked about passing yards. We talked about rushing yards, receiving yards. Those are empirical. Someone is going to have the most yards. MVP, comeback player, these are all narrative-driven awards. Who's going to have the narrative behind them? Now, how do you get the narrative behind you? Well, you come off a subpar season, or you are someone who is going to get the lion's share of the credit for what your offense does, right? That's why Russell Wilson, I think, makes sense at 15-1, because if things go right for the Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson's getting all the credit for why things went right, right? If you look at the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's going to get the credit if this team wins, and he should get the credit if this team wins, because Lamar Jackson is football Shohei Ohtani. He does it both ways. He's someone who doesn't necessarily have to have a 4,500-yard passing season in order to win MVP. If Lamar Jackson runs for 900 yards and throws for 3,500, he's going to be in the range of guys who has a chance to win the MVP, because in those numbers, he's probably going to end up accounting for 40-odd touchdowns one way or the other. So Lamar Jackson with a Ravens team that, as you mentioned, they add Tyler Linderbaum at center and re-solidify what was the strength of the team. They get Ronnie Stanley back off that devastating injury that he had. It's a team that was built on that offensive line, built on a diverse rushing attack. They get all of their running backs back in the fold. They're going to be better than they were last year. They have to be better than they were last year. They're the best coach in the NFL. They have a quarterback, as you mentioned, in a contract year. That's why I love Lamar Jackson, and it's why I don't love Derek Carr, as you just said. If the Raiders are really good, Devontae Adams is getting as much credit as Derek Carr. They're not going to say Derek Carr all of a sudden became great. They're going to say Devontae Adams came in and made Derek Carr better.
What about, so let me throw a couple other names at you. Dak was in that grouping along with Kyler Murray, which I think is interesting. And as far as long shots, he's won before. He's in a new place. Would you ever take a flyer on a Matt Ryan, where I think the Colts should be the favorites to win that division, even with Tennessee coming off the number one seed in the AFC? That's another intriguing one to me, although I don't think I'm betting it. I'm just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Well, Matt Ryan's going to be in a great situation. He's going to have still, even with the retirement of Costanzo, he's still going to have a top five offensive line. He's going to a far better situation. I don't think that he's nearly as done as he looked with the Falcons, and you've got a rushing attack that can take some of the pressure off. You know, I think the question with the Colts, and can Matt Ryan put up the numbers, is that how much credit does he get versus how much credit does Jonathan Taylor get versus how often is he going to be able to throw the ball to build up the kind of numbers that you need, right? If you think the Colts are going to be really good, you probably think Jonathan Taylor is going to be really good, and you probably also think they're going to have a lot of leads to be protecting. They are the favorites right now at minus 125 in the AFC South, and so if you believe that they are the favorite in that division, then I don't know that I love him as much as I would. I think he's going to put up great numbers, but I wonder if he's going to get the credit if he does put up those numbers. That being said, you know, if you're getting him at a long enough price, then why not, right? You look down the board. If you're looking at Jeremy, if you're if you're looking down the board and Trey Lance is 40-1 and you're getting Matt Ryan down in that range or better, then yes, there's obviously some level of value there.
Yeah. Do you value Trey Lance at all? Because he's a relative unknown. I can't bet some of these guys. Like even me bringing up Matt Ryan, I'm trying to think outside the box and somebody that could make sense that more than likely I'm not going to bet. But Trey Lance is a relative unknown. You know, there's a lot of these guys because we think this is a quarterback's award. It's been proven that. Finding the right spot where a guy could either dominate his division or have statistically one of these amazing seasons that comes out of nowhere and that vaults him maybe above a guy that's done it before, right? Like, you know, Tom Brady's expected to be in that conversation if you know, I'm doing this for you know what and giggles. If Trey Lance has this amazing season, numbers rushing and throwing on par with maybe what Tom Brady's doing, and the 49ers have a better record, is that something where he would get way more of a look than Brady would, even if with better numbers or something similar to it? You know,
I'd bet Trey.
I don't think that happens.
I'd bet Trey Burke. I'd bet Trey Songs. I would not bet Trey Lance because what we've seen out of him thus far does not suggest that he has that ability. Also, if he's at 40-1 and Tua Tagovailoa is below him at 50-1, if you're going to just say, okay, take a shot in that range, you just gave Tua Tyreek Hill. I believe that if Tua is able to make the most out of Tyreek Hill, caution, I don't think he's going to be able to make the most out of Tyreek Hill. But if I'm going to take a shot at a quarterback down there, it's not going to be a guy who, A, doesn't necessarily have the starting job, B, hasn't looked that great in the time that we have seen him, and C, isn't priced nearly long enough for my taste. So, no, I wouldn't be interested there. I think you and I can probably get together and settle on Lamar Jackson at 22-1 and say that's the bet that we like the most. Ravens are actually in that range for the Super Bowl as well, in that 20 or so. Jeremy loves the NBA. I love the NBA. We're going to get back to a little basketball talk here on the other side. You're locked in to BetQL here with You Better, You Bet.